Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive. This time we're going to try to decode economics.
Ooh, economics.
Yeah, but not the kind that makes you fall asleep, you know, in some boring college lecture hall.
Yeah, no textbooks here.
Exactly. We're going to get local and relevant to all of us here in Deer Parks LaPorte in Pasadena.
You know, I think a lot of people tune out when they hear economics, but what's really cool is that it's all around us, even if we don't realize it.
Yeah, for sure. So let's jump right in and start with this idea of prices.
Okay.
I mean, we see prices every day, everywhere we go, but they're more than just numbers, right? What are they really telling us?
They really are. They're like signals telling us about how scarce something is. You know, like beachfront property.
So, yeah, good example.
Like those houses right on Sylvan Beach or around Clear Lake.
You always hear about how expensive those are.
Exactly. And that higher price, it's not just because they're fancy. It's because there's only so much beachfront property and a lot of people want to live there.
Classic supply and demand.
Right. Scarcity drives up the price.
And speaking of prices, let's talk about something that always seems to come up after a hurricane or a flood hits Pasadena or Deer Park.
Oh, you mean price gouging.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
People see prices go up and immediately start talking about greed.
It's easy to jump to that conclusion.
Yeah.
But sometimes those higher prices are just reflecting how much harder it is to get things done after a disaster.
Right. Like if roads are blocked, it costs more to get supplies in.
Exactly. And that brings us to this powerful concept of the unseen hand of the market.
Okay, that sounds kind of mysterious.
Yeah, it kind of does. It's this idea from Adam Smith basically saying that the market kind of runs itself in a way.
Even though it seems chaotic.
Exactly. Like, think about your local HEB on Fairmont Parkway.
Okay.
Thousands of different items, shelves always stocked, but there's no one person in charge of making sure everything is in the right place.
That's true.
Yeah.
How does that even work?
It's actually a pretty elegant system, this invisible hand. The prices, supply and demand, all these things work together to make sure that stuff ends up where it's needed most.
Without anyone having to plan it all out.
Exactly. It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
So when I see a new business popping up in Pasadena, it's like the market responding to what people want.
Absolutely. And on the flip side, sometimes we see businesses closing down too. Like, remember when everyone shopped at department stores?
Seems like ages ago.
Now, online shopping is changing the whole retail game everywhere, including here in Deer Park and Pasadena.
So businesses that don't adapt, they kind of get left behind?
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's like a constant evolution.
So what are some examples of how local businesses are adapting? I mean, are there new trends popping up?
Definitely. One great example is food trucks.
Oh, yeah. Those are everywhere.
Especially in Pasadena. They offer a unique dining experience and really cater to those changing tastes.
You know, sometimes it feels like we're in this little bubble here in Southeast Houston. But really, we're connected to these global forces too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We might feel far removed from global economics, but think about all the stuff we buy from other countries.
Okay, like what?
Clothes, electronics, even a lot of the food at our local grocery stores.
Wow. So even though I might not be directly buying and selling in the global market, those forces still affect me.
They do. The global economy is interconnected. What happens in one part of the world can have a ripple effect that we feel right here at home.
Speaking of global things, this whole debate about trade restrictions always gets me thinking.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people think that to protect local businesses, we need to reject international trade. But the source material we looked at suggests a different perspective.
So it's not that simple.
Not at all. History shows us that those trade restrictions can backfire.
Okay, like hell.
Well, take the Smoot-Hawley tariffs back in the 1930s.
I vaguely remember that from history class.
They were meant to help American businesses during the Great Depression, but they actually made things worse.
Oh, wow. So it's a much more complex issue than it seems at first.
Exactly.
And speaking of complex issues, there's one that always sparks debate here in Texas.
You're talking about minimum wage.
I am. It's a sensitive topic, but an important one. We all want people to earn a living wage, but what are the real effects of raising the minimum wage?
It's not as simple as just saying raise it and everything will be fine.
Okay, so what are the potential downsides?
Well, sometimes it can actually hurt the people it's trying to help.
How so?
For example, younger workers or people who are just starting out, they might find it harder to get a job if businesses have to pay them more.
So it's important to consider all sides of the issue before making a decision.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've covered prices, busted some myths about price gouging, and even explored that invisible hand of the market.
It's been a good start.
It has. Before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, let's get even more fundamental and talk about profits and losses.
Okay, now we're getting to the heart of it.
I always hear people saying that profits are just about greed. But it sounds like there's more to it than that.
Definitely. Profits and losses, they're not just about money. They're like signals.
Signals for what?
They tell producers what to make and what not to make.
Okay, I'm not...
If a business is losing money, it means they're producing something that people don't really want.
Makes sense.
But if they're making a profit, it means they're on the right track.
So profits actually encourage businesses to create things that people value.
Exactly. It's like a self-regulating system that makes sure resources are being used effectively.
This reminds me of something I read in the source material about a Soviet economist who was puzzled by why their economy was always struggling with too much inventory.
Oh, yeah. That's a great example of what happens when prices don't reflect the real value of things.
So in a market economy, those profits and losses act like guideposts.
Precisely. They tell producers how much to make and what to adjust.
And when those signals are messed up, it can lead to all sorts of problems.
Like having warehouses full of stuff nobody wants.
Exactly. It's all about understanding the incentives and signals that drive economic behavior.
That's the key.
This is fascinating stuff. We've covered a lot of ground, but we're just getting started.
There's so much more to explore.
Join us for part two, where we'll dive deeper into how these economic forces are playing out right here in our communities.
And we'll even talk about how these principles can help you manage your personal finances.
That's going to be good. Stay tuned, everybody.
Welcome back to our deep dive into economics.
So in part one, we talked about some pretty big ideas.
Yeah, like the power of prices, the myth of price gouging, that invisible hand of the market.
Global forces impacting local businesses, and even the complexities of minimum wage.
We covered a lot of ground.
We did. And we started to explore how profits and losses aren't just about the money.
Right. They're actually information signals that guide resources to where they're most valued.
Okay, so for part two, let's zoom in a bit and see how those economic forces are shaping industries right here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
Sounds good.
And even our own wallets.
Let's start with an industry that's vital to our local economy.
Okay, what's that?
Energy.
Makes sense. We're practically surrounded by refineries and petrochemical plants here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
It's a huge part of life in Southeast Houston.
It is. What are some of the economic forces at play in that industry?
Well, that industry is constantly evolving, driven by forces both global and local.
You know, one thing that always fascinates me is how much innovation goes on behind the scenes in the energy industry.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
It's not always obvious to us everyday folks.
From new drilling technologies to advances in refining processes, there's a constant drive for greater efficiency and lower costs.
And those innovations have a very real impact on our lives.
Think about the price of gasoline at the pump.
Okay.
When energy companies find more efficient ways to produce and refine oil, it can help keep those prices down, which benefits everyone.
That's definitely good news for all of us in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
It is. And it's a great example of how innovation in one industry can ripple through the entire economy.
So what about other industries that are undergoing a lot of change? Like, what about retail?
Oh, yeah. Retail. That's a big one. The rise of online shopping has definitely disrupted traditional retail, and we've seen the effects right here in our area.
Definitely. Some big-name stores have closed their doors, but amidst those challenges, we're also seeing a lot of resilience and creativity.
We are.
What are some examples of that?
Well, consider the growth of farmers markets in Pasadena.
Oh, yeah, I love those.
They offer fresh local produce and create a sense of community.
It's a great way to support local farmers and food producers.
Exactly. It's a win-win situation.
What else are you seeing?
We're also seeing a resurgence of small independent businesses offering unique products and personalized services.
It's almost like a return to the days of mom and pop shops, but with a modern twist.
That's a great way to put it.
So even though the retail landscape is changing, there are still plenty of opportunities for local businesses to adapt and thrive.
There are.
And those adaptations often involve understanding the needs and wants of us, the consumers.
That's right. And speaking of consumers, let's shift gears and talk about personal finance. How do these economic forces impact our own wallets?
Okay, yeah, that's something we can all relate to. What are some key economic principles we should keep in mind when it comes to managing our money?
One of the most important is the time value of money.
Okay, I've heard that phrase before, but I'm not entirely sure what it means.
It simply means that money today is worth more than the same amount of money in the future.
Why is that?
Because you can invest money today and earn a return on it over time.
Okay.
Think of it like planting a seed. If you plant a seed today, it has the potential to grow into a tree that bears fruit in the future.
So my money is like a seed that can grow if I invest it wisely.
Exactly. And the sooner you plant that seed, the more time it has to grow.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right.
So starting early is key when it comes to building wealth over time.
It is. And another important concept that ties into this is compound interest.
Compound interest.
It's like earning interest on your interest.
Oh, okay, so it's like a snowball effect.
Yeah.
As your savings grow, the amount of interest you earn each year also grows.
Exactly. And the longer you let that snowball roll, the bigger it gets.
Okay, so starting early and taking advantage of compound interest can really make a difference in the long run.
It can.
What about things like risk and diversification? I hear those terms thrown around a lot when it comes to investing.
Those are crucial concepts, too. Diversification means not putting all your eggs in one basket.
So instead of investing all my money in a single stock or bond, I should spread it across different types of investments.
Exactly. Stocks, bonds, real estate, and maybe even commodities.
Okay.
Diversification helps reduce your overall risk and increases your chances of long-term success.
So it's like having a financial safety net.
That's a good way to think about it.
So we've got the time value of money, compound interest, and diversification. What other economic principles can help us make smarter financial choices?
Well, living within your means is crucial. It sounds simple, but it can be challenging in today's world.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There are so many temptations to overspend.
There are. But creating a budget and tracking your spending can help you make more conscious choices about where your money goes.
That sounds a bit tedious,
Yeah.
but I guess it can be eye-opening to see where your money is actually going.
It can. And it can help you identify areas where you might be able to cut back and free up more money for saving or investing.
Okay, budgeting and living within your means. Got it. What about debt? Is all debt bad?
Not necessarily. Some debt, like a mortgage on a home, can be considered good debt because it's an investment that can appreciate in value over time.
But I know things like credit card debt can really drag you down.
That's true. High-interest debt can quickly spiral out of control. It's important to be mindful of those interest rates and try to pay down debt as quickly as possible.
So it's all about managing debt responsibly.
Exactly.
This is all great information, but sometimes it feels like the economy is this giant, complex machine that's beyond my control.
It can feel that way, but remember, even small individual choices can make a difference.
Like choosing to support local businesses.
Exactly. When you shop at a local store or dine at a local restaurant, you're not just making a purchase, you're investing in your community.
And those choices can add up and have a real impact on the local economy.
They can. And on a personal level, making smart financial choices, even small ones, can help you build a more secure future for yourself and your family.
This deep dive has been incredibly eye-opening. We've covered a lot of ground from the power of prices to the importance of personal finance.
We have.
But I have a feeling there's more to come, right?
You're right. In part three, we'll explore some of the bigger challenges and opportunities facing our communities here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
I'm looking forward to it. Stay tuned, everyone. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. In parts one and two, we dug into how those economic forces are all around us, impacting our lives right here in Deer Park, LaPorte, in Pasadena.
We really did. From prices to personal finance, we explored it all.
But now in part three, I kind of want to zoom out a bit and talk about those big economic trends that are affecting our communities here in Southeast Houston. You know, the stuff that keeps city planners up at night.
Oh, yeah, the big picture stuff.
Exactly. So what are some of the challenges we need to be thinking about?
Well, one that's facing many communities, including ours, is income inequality.
Okay. Yeah, I've definitely heard about that.
You know, that growing gap between the highest earners and the lowest earners.
Yeah, it seems like the cost of living keeps going up, but not everyone's wages are keeping pace.
Exactly. And that can lead to a whole bunch of other problems.
Like what?
Like shortages of affordable housing,
Yeah.
limited access to things like quality education and healthcare.
So it's not just about individuals struggling, it's about these bigger issues that affect the whole community.
Exactly. It's systemic. And on top of that, we're all dealing with a constantly changing economy.
Right. Like, what kinds of changes are you talking about?
Well, traditional industries are declining while new ones are emerging.
Oh, yeah, like the shift from manufacturing jobs to more service-based jobs.
Exactly. And that shift means that workers have to constantly learn new skills and adapt to new ways of working.
It's like we have to reinvent ourselves just to stay competitive.
That's a good way to put it. And all of these challenges, they're all interconnected.
Okay, how so?
For example, the lack of affordable housing can actually make it harder for people to access job training programs or to find stable employment.
So it's like a domino effect where one problem can make the others even worse.
Exactly.
Okay, so those are some of the big challenges we're facing. But what about opportunities? Are there any bright spots on the economic horizon for Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
Definitely. I think one exciting opportunity is the growth of the tech sector.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're seeing more and more tech companies moving to the Houston area.
So what does that mean for us?
Well, it brings new jobs, attracts young talent.
And hopefully that can help diversify our local economy a little bit, make us more resilient to those economic downturns.
Exactly.
Right.
We're also seeing a growing emphasis on sustainability and renewable
Oh,
energy.
yeah, like those solar farms you see popping up all over the place now.
Exactly. And there's a lot of potential for growth in areas like energy efficiency, green building, which could benefit our communities in so many ways.
That's great.
And let's not forget the power of entrepreneurship.
Okay, that's a good point.
We have so many creative and innovative people starting their own businesses right here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena.
It's true. We see it all the time.
Those small businesses create jobs, generate economic activity, and they really add to the unique character of our communities.
It reminds us why supporting those local businesses is so important. It's not just about nostalgia, it's about investing in the economic health of our area.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about some of the big challenges and the exciting opportunities, but what can we actually do about it, both individually and collectively, to make a positive difference?
That's the big question. And it requires us to think on multiple levels. On a policy level, we can advocate for policies that promote economic opportunity for everyone, not just a select few.
So things like supporting affordable housing, accessible healthcare, quality education for all.
Exactly. Those are the foundations of a thriving, equitable community.
And it's not just about government policies, right? Individuals can make a difference too.
Absolutely. One powerful thing we can all do is support local businesses.
Okay, yeah, we talk about that a lot on the show.
When we shop at local stores, dine at local restaurants, use local services, we're keeping our money within the community.
And that money can then circulate, support other local businesses, create that ripple effect of economic activity.
Exactly. And we can also volunteer our time and talents to organizations working to address those economic challenges.
You mean like food banks, homeless shelters, job training programs?
Exactly. Those organizations, they rely on the support of the community to make a difference.
And even those small acts of kindness, like mentoring a young person or helping an elderly neighbor, can have a positive impact.
They really can. It's all about working together to build a stronger, more resilient, more equitable community for everyone.
Well, this deep dive has been incredibly informative and inspiring. We've covered so much ground, from the power of prices to those big economic forces shaping our local communities.
I've learned a lot.
We have. And we've even discussed some ways that we can all make a difference.
Remember, economics isn't just some abstract concept.
Yeah, it's all around us.
It affects our lives every day. By understanding these principles and thinking critically about how they play out, we can create a more prosperous and equitable future for everyone here in Southeast Houston.
And that's what Think and Act Locally is all about, empowering residents of Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena to improve their lives and their community. If you found value in today's deep dive, please consider supporting the show. You can find a link to donate in the show notes. Thanks for joining us.
We'll see you next time.